Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzamos Oz. Hello. The number of today's show is 1072, and our topic today is the conflict that exists or doesn't exist between humanism and nationalism. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah, one of the biggest conflicts nowadays in the world is the conflict between the desire to be a part of a certain nation, a common culture, common customs, a mutual story, and humanism. Humanism is love of others, cosmopolitanism. We're all one small global village. Really, what's the difference? And it seems that in the world, too, there's a kind of conflict between these two aspects, that you can't connect nationalism with humanism. And we read some really interesting things written by Bala Sulam in his article, The Individual and the Nation, from the Nation newspaper that was published many years ago, but still it's very current. And I'd like to read them because it's very interesting to see that he sees a different approach. He writes, those who completely retire from nationalism and become cosmopolitan for humane, altruistic motives are making a fundamental error, since nationalism and humanism are not at all contradictory. So let's try and understand, why is there such a perception today that there's a conflict between the national aspect and the humane aspect? I think it's very simple, because if I establish myself on the human ego, which is at the essence of man's nature, then I can either belong to the nation, to a nation, or to the world, and then there's a contradiction between the nation and the world. I'm in favor of this or that. But only if I talk about man's influence over his environment and that all of us are interconnected in a good and nice way, then this is how I want to be connected with my nation, and this is how I want to be connected with the world, and then there's no contradiction. Meaning, as long as I'm in my egoistic will to receive, then there is a collision, contradiction between myself and anything that's outside of me. And if my desire is actually to bestow, to love, then there's no difference between whoever's outside of my own boundaries. I want to come closer to them, embrace them, and be like them. You presented a conflict that I'm not sure that I fully understood. What does it mean that a person's desire either feels that it belongs to a certain nation or that it belongs to the world? How does that work? Could be to my family. Could be to myself. I, by nature, am an egoist. I'm egocentric. Now, I look at others, at what's outside of me, outside of my own nature, outside of my body. And now I have to do the math. To what extent can I use that person? Is he good or not good for me? Should I come closer or move away? My ego directs me this way all the time to examine, where am I with respect to any object, person, everything? If I correct myself that I want to be connected to everyone by love, because it brings me to a completely different degree in my perception of the world, perception of nature, and I work on myself accordingly. So I actually make out of myself not an egoist, but the very opposite, an altruist. And then there's no difference between whether I love my family, my neighbors, those that are further away, my entire nation, or the entire world. Sure, that depends too on the intensity of my altruism, but there's no collision, there's no contradiction that they work in different directions. Whereas, if I'm an ordinary person, then I want to bring everything closer to myself. Suddenly I'm told, but you have to be connected with him or her. You have to also relate to that person. And that's a contradiction. Here there's no contradiction. And therefore, self-love is in contradiction with any other kind of love. And the so-called love of the world, altruism, is not in contradiction with anything.
But we do see that this is what happens in the world nowadays, that there are different approaches that are in true collision with one another, approaches in the world that say that nationalism is maybe something that we shouldn't put such an emphasis on, that maybe there's no place for society like it used to be. We see that there is a developmental process that we went through as human beings. In the past, we belonged to a small tribe. Then we developed, we felt that we're part of a larger nation, maybe later on to something bigger. And gradually we start feeling that there's a certain process where a person starts feeling that he belongs to an ever-growing group of people, broader group of people. How does that work? Dependence, that's it. When we're egoists, if we're talking about any nation on earth, then everyone are egoists. And to the extent to which a person feels that it's good for him to connect with others, then he does. This is how a family became a village, villages connected into cities, cities connected into countries. And today you even have unifications between countries. But it's because it's more beneficial for me to build different kinds of forms of connection. Whereas, once I don't need someone, then I leave that connection, and it's better for me to be on my own. So, our current attitude, which is a kind of egoistic attitude as you describe it, why do we kind of feel that we no longer want to belong to a small tribe, but to something bigger? Because it's beneficial. I enjoy the entire world. I'm getting different products from them. I sell my products to them. I can be richer. I can enjoy the competition between all of us. It's not in vain that the world became so round and broad. So the process of our development as a mankind, it's actually natural. Yeah, our ego grows and forces us to extend our boundaries. And what does it say about our nationalism? And then I move away from nationalism. When I see that I'm more connected with other countries, other societies, other people, continents, then my nationalism becomes too small. It closes in on me, it limits me, puts pressure on me. So, I don't attach too much importance to my nation in regard to my faith. Going back to the quote we started with by Balasulam, those who completely retire from nationalism and become cosmopolitan for humane, altruistic motives are making a fundamental error, since nationalism and humanism are not at all contradictory. Meaning, the way I see what he writes, he emphasizes that it's incorrect to forsake nationalism for cosmopolitanism completely, but probably sees a kind of a combination between the two. Yes. Up till now, we talked about humanism. Let's talk about nationalism. What is correct nationalism? This is only if I get a kind of education where I elevate myself from the egoistic to the altruistic degree. And what does it have to do with nationalism? Then, the very same way I love myself and my family, I also love my nation and also the rest of mankind. And then my boundaries only go and grow. And nothing collides with anything else. Whereas, if I remain an egoist, then I always examine the boundaries to the extent to which it is worthwhile to expand or not, according to my ego. If I understand what you've just explained, there are two kinds of people. They're egoists that will always find a certain boundary up until which they'll feel, this is mine, this is me, and everything else are foreigners, strangers. And there are other people that develop new attributes of love in themselves that doesn't stop at any boundary. And it's the love of man, the love of the world, that doesn't stop anywhere, at any boundaries. So, we'd like to think, for the sake of this discussion, that love for all is what we'd like to advance to. In this picture, what is the place of nationalism that he says that you can't completely retire from it, as he says? Nationalism is a part, is the basis for the love of the world. Explain, please. That according to my development, my altruistic development, I reach love for my people, and then from there on, I open myself to loving the entire world. Because I see that actually the system is much broader than my little self. But actually, the entire world is this human system. And when I'm all embracing, then I start feeling how much I acquire by that in this vessel, in this general feeling, when I embrace them, I start feeling the whole of nature and all of its phenomena. So how would you define what is the place of nationalism in a global era? Nationalism is the foundation that from it and on, I only have to extend the boundaries of my love for others. So nationalism is like a certain group that I belong to, toward which I learn how to develop my love towards them. And all of this only in order for me to be able to continue and develop my love toward the rest of the world. Excellent. Precisely because of that. Because loving the world is actually the goal. Okay, let's look at another aspect. We know that one of the hardest things that occur in the world is that nationalism, that national love, that good and pleasant connection that a certain group shares suddenly can turn into what we call racism. Of course, when and how does that happen? Because to begin with, or later on, they have no developmental process in that direction. But they begin to close themselves off within their own system, inside their own group. Yeah? So what's the malfunction? Why does the love that I develop toward my nation, why does it stop? Why doesn't it keep developing toward broader circles? Because you have no rational foundation for it. Regarding your nation, you have a foundation. It's my people. It's like a family. By our genes, by our DNA, we all came from the same place, even from the same forefathers. That somewhere in the past there was a male and female from which came our entire nation, and we feel it. And we can even examine it. We can do genetic tests. So there's a connection between us, cultural connection, inner connection. We're connected in everything. All in all, we're a family, let's put it that way. And sure, when I'm connected to my nation, I feel that I'm with my family. So it's natural. Yeah. It's like an extended family. Yeah. How does such a feeling of developing love toward my extended family, what we call nationalism in our discussion, how does it suddenly invert into racism, being against others? Because if I love someone, it's very easy for me not to love someone else, someone who's different. I don't want to come out of myself. Just like a person doesn't like others, then suppose I like my family, I like my village, my country, but enough? Beyond this, I don't feel a sense of belonging. To go outside of the boundaries of my nation, this is supernatural. So within the boundaries of the nation, it's natural. There are those that this is not natural for them either. There are those that they even disregard their family. There are those that care for their family but don't care for their village or their city or their country, their nation. But suppose that he has a broad heart, suppose, and he loves the entire nation. But to love another nation, there all the foundations can be very, very different. I don't like the same food, the same music, even their smell. Different nations smell differently, and so on and so forth. And therefore, in order to start developing some kind of a positive attitude toward them, for this I need some kind of written proof, something that really obligates me to do it, that it's necessary. Let's try and understand this. There is a situation where naturally, a person can reach a certain boundary, and he can develop love for his nation. He loves his country. He loves everything that's related to his country, their story, their customs, their roots, everything. This natural. And then, instead of actually continuing from national love to loving the entire world, suddenly we see that there's a kind of malfunction. Yeah, so we love ourselves, but maybe we become racists. We start hating another group. You listen to the news. Yeah. Something happened to someone in some accident, airplane crash, something. If it's a close person or not that close or from some other denomination or different race or from a different nation, another continent, immediately you feel, how do we relate to this news? Do we feel sorrow? Don't we? Yeah, or maybe it's someone from far away. And so what can you do? Meaning, that in your explanation, there's really a feeling that became very clear. Meaning nationalism, that's clear. Yeah. And now we have to take care of the humanism. Yeah, it's very interesting because the world did used to talk about humanism. It's not something that we invented just now. What I want to say is that there is some kind of perception in mankind, even if it can't really realize humanism to the fullest, but there is this kind of value, that there's a kind of an aspiration for it. And maybe this is where the mistake is in our perception, that in order to truly be humane, we have to let go of our nationalism. Yes, but it's incorrect, because there's a big problem here, because all the humanists from generations back, it's not something that developed in the 20th century, but this dates way back. So all the humanists, they related to the love of nations or mankind in a very abstract form. I'm a humanist. Or I write in a way that's all-embracing. Or I talk about it. Or I'm known as this kind of a philosopher. Meaning, it's a kind of, I'd say, perception. But it's not practical. You can't realize it. But it's a philosophical approach, maybe psychological to some extent. There are people that this is how they feel by the way their brain's structured. You can even choose certain substances that then a person is more of a humanist or less and so on. But all in all, we see that these people are unrealistic. They do not implement it. There are no humanist movements that in practice go like parties, like other movements, and really demand humane education. But it's between small, unorganized bodies that are weak and all pretty. When we look at the world, we see that there is an opposite trend. All the humanism and even this philosophical approach is dissipating in face of everything that's going on in the world nowadays. And then suddenly again, nationalism is on the rise everywhere. As always, it's like breathing. You inhale and exhale, on and off. So it's like humanism in the world, if we try to look at it from this perspective, it failed. And as a result, people are starting to go back to national love, and we see the implications. So what is humanism according to the wisdom of Kabbalah? This is something completely different. It's above human nature. First of all, we have to know how to receive a force that will turn us into true humanists. And this is only by studying about the general system of nature, about the extent to which we're all connected and that we're all in one dish, one ball, doesn't matter how you call it, and the extent to which we're interdependent, meaning there is also an egoistic foundation to humanism that we depend on each other. And not only that we're dependent on each other, but we determine each other's fate. Truly so. And therefore, humanism, in this respect, comes out and develops from the correct, big, and healthy ego that we have no choice, but we need to examine. How do we develop our ego correctly to the point where we reach humanism from true humanism from our ego, which is the healthy foundation? Because all in all, our nature is the will to enjoy. And we can't disconnect from it. We can't rise above it. We can't run away from it. But does this desire to receive pleasure start to really teach us about the great, true, exalted pleasures that I even let go of using my egoistic desire where I'm concerned only with myself, but I rise above that. I become a more understanding, more sensing, feeling person that sees more into the distance. And I see that only this way, if I will overcome the narrow ego and will look further into the distance, then I could really correctly take care of my desire to receive pleasure by loving others and tying others, connecting others to me completely, in a whole and complete way. So it follows that the correct use of the ego, it doesn't contradict anything. This is what developed me and brought me to love others, if we're all together. Meaning, we can put it this way, that just in the same direction, like I left myself and I started loving my neighbors and then the people in my city and then the people of my country, my nation. The very same way, I have to further ascend and see that all people, and in general, all the still, vegetative, and the animate, everything, the whole of nature is one system, and I can really reach the complete fulfillment in my complete love toward others. And therefore, I'm limited. This limitation in me does not allow me to reach love for the entire world. Why should a person love the entire world? Because to the extent to which I ascend in my love toward others, the more I enjoy, I feel eternal, whole and complete, unending, unlimited. And instead of being like a little baby, I'm a grown-up person, a person that includes the whole of reality inside himself, meaning it's to my benefit. Last question, Dr. Lightman. When you look at the world that we live in, that like we said, that today nationalism is actually on the rise, and you said that it's like breathing, like contraction and expansion, such periods, other periods, in 5 or 10 years from today, the world will become more humane or less? What will happen with nationalism? On and off, there will be these and those states, but eventually, this is what develops people, and they'll understand that the correct, complete humanism, this is what lies ahead, and that nature is pushing us toward that, and that this is something that we have to acquire, that by this we become eternal and whole and complete, only by the true humanism. This was very interesting. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.